Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that we will be encouraged by what we look at today. So be here by your Spirit, we ask. May we each today catch a fresh glimpse of your love and of your tender mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at some of the stories that are in the Bible, I cannot help but wonder sometimes, but if we were given the opportunity of writing them out, would we have altered the way they were written? Because sometimes in the Bible, when you see the stories that are there, the Bible always tells it very accurately, warts and all. And I guess sometimes, if it's like me, we sometimes tend to gloss over those bits that we try and whitewash out. And that is very much the case with the story I'm going to look at this morning. And yet it's amazing how, with the individual we're going to look at, how at the end this individual is part of a very special lineage. If you have your Bibles, come with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Here we've got a very beautiful little story that we can all be encouraged by. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, we read these words. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Here we got Joshua saying to two men, "Go spy out the land and include Jericho. Check it out." And it's interesting that Joshua only sent out two. He didn't send out 12. I guess he wanted to make sure they came back with the same story. Only send out two. Check out the land. Check out Jericho. They were given instructions on what to do. And so they went. But where did they stay when they came to the city of Jericho? With Rahab. What do we know about Rahab? As we would say tonight, today, she was a girl of the night. A wild one. Prostitute. One of them. If you were writing a Bible story, would you put that detail in? Or would we feel more inclined to say, let's try and pretty up the girl a bit. We won't put that little bit in. That's the detail we don't need to know. But this is what she was, and this is what makes the Bible so beautiful. It doesn't whitewash. It gives exactly how it is. She was a wild chick. And it's interesting, I remember back in the mid-80s, I was attending the Ringwood Church, and in their library, there was an author who at the time writ a series of books where they did research on different characters and the customs of the time, and then they wrote a novel on that person's life. And there was a book that was written that was called The Scarlet Cord, written on Ahab. And a prostitute back then is different to what we expect now, because back in Jericho, the city was full of heathen-type worship. Rahab was a powerful little girl, but she was a wild girl. There is so much you could read into that book that gives you a picture that, hey, this was a nasty situation. The men coming to choose to stay with Rahab, of all people, it was an act of stupidity. Maybe. She was a wild little girl. But stay with her they did. Joshua chapter 2. Let's read on. In verse 2 it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are with thee, which have entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." The king found out. The king was nervous. And for good reason. And the king comes to the door of Rahab's house. He didn't go in. Wasn't game enough to. Rahab was a powerful girl. Where are they? Where are they? And it's interesting the answer that she gave. Let's check it out. Joshua 2:4-6. "And the women took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not where they were. And it came to pass the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. Here you've got a girl that knows how to string a story together. They're not here. Get out there and search for them. Get out there quickly. They may have escaped. If you go quickly, you'll catch them. Anything. You think we'd change this part too? After all, we told we shouldn't tell lies, should we? Get lost. Find them. They're out there somewhere. And of course, all the time she knows where they are. They're up on the roof under the flax. Which is a clever girl. She knows how to be convincing. So in verse 7 we read, "Then the men pursued after them all the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them had gone out, they shut the gate." They shut the gate. And so they left. They obeyed Rahab. They took her word. They searched out the land. We would say today that she sent them out on a wild goose chase. Why? After all, she's part of this country. She's part of that city. Why? Why not hand the two spies over? After all, isn't she a loyal member of that city? What was the motive? What was the motive? You know, in many ways, the stage is set for what is now a conversation that is interesting to read. And for us even today, the challenge in this story. But would we be willing to trust a person with a bad reputation that we don't even know? Now the situation is becoming interesting. For now she tells them exactly how it is. She tells the two spies exactly what the situation was in that city of Jericho. Joshua 2, verse 8. And before they were laid down, before she let them go, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth below. Here she is stating the case as it really is. The people are afraid of you. Afraid of you. They know what you can do. And then we see an interesting thing that this harlot, this girl of the night, this prostitute, this heathen says, hey, I know your God is real. I know you will win. I believe in your God. And when you stop and think about it, the fascinating thing is that this Rahab is saying what the children of Israel were still coming to grips with after 40 years of wandering. She was quite willing to say with confidence, I know you will win. When the children of Israel had to spend 40 years wandering around, learning to trust God. Bit of a sad indictment, isn't it? Bit of a sad indictment. When this girl, this wild girl of the night, could say, hey, I know your God is real. We know what happened at the Red Sea, and that happened 40 years ago. We know your God's real. Everyone in this city is afraid. Yet after 40 years of wandering, the children of Israel were still learning it. And here comes the catch. Here comes the catch. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also shine kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. That you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. I know you will win. I've done the right thing by you. Now you do the right thing by me. Save me. Save me. What was the reply? Verse 14. And the men answered her, saying, our lives for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it will be, shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. You've done the right thing by us, and yes, we shall do the same for you. The deal was struck. You're going to be saved. And as they were let down and told where to go, They then gave the instruction to Rahab. Let's read it. Verse 17. This was the instruction. The men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee, home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. The deal was made. The deal was made, and the men get away. They make their way back to camp and tell Joshua all that has taken place, that the land is theirs but for the asking. Let's read it. Verse 23. "And so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to the Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the earth of the country do faint because of us." So the situation is set. What more could you wish for? The people are afraid. God's on your side. It is time to take and win. But even so, it is always good to know that God is there beside you. It is good to know that when you're about to take on a big project, that, hey, God is there. And so when the time came for them to take Jericho, Joshua was going to have an experience that would remind him again that God was there for them. Joshua chapter 5, come with me there. Joshua chapter 5. It was even time. The people of Israel were now settled in Canaan. And now we come to Joshua chapter 5, and we are approaching the time when they are about to take Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua went by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua 6, verse 1. Now Joshua was greatly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. It's all yours. You're going to win. You know, as you read the words of the above text that we've just looked at, what do you find? Is God being a little bit uneasy about the deal? Is God being vague? Or is God giving the promise that I will be with you? You know, here is a point that we need to remember, and that being that the promises of God being with us is still real for today. That God loves you, that God loves us each one. Let us hold on to him and never let go. So the day came where they were to take the city. It was going to be brought down to the ground. But what about the girl who did all that she did for the spies? Would she be saved or would she be forgotten? Joshua 6. Joshua 6 and verse 22. Let's read it. Joshua 6 and verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that espied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all the kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, did they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and the father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which God, which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. The promise that was made was not forgotten. They got her and her family out and brought her to the camp. Rahab did the right thing, and for that you were saved. Brought to safety. But here is the thing. You see, when God does something, he doesn't do it by halves. He doesn't do it by halves. Come back with me to Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2, we see that this lady is introduced to us as Rahab the harlot. A prostitute. A girl of the night. A wild girl. A wild girl. But in my Bible, in the margin, beside her name, there is a cross-reference. And this is where I now want to take you. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Here we have in this Matthew chapter 1 the lineage of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, we read this. And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz beget Obed of Ruth. And Obed beget Jesse. Here is an interesting thing, a situation of two couples that are mentioned in the human family of Jesus. Do you recognize the names? It is fascinating that when you look at all these names, that there are only two females who are mentioned. And neither of them came from the family of Israel. One was a prostitute. The other was a foreigner. And as we look at this picture, it should give to us all hope that in the family of God there is room for all. There is room for everyone. At the feet of Jesus, there is room for anyone who is willing to come and to be saved. He wants you to be a part of that family. He wants me to be a part of that family. The question for us today is simply this: but have you allowed yourself to become a part of that family? You see, God wants to make you a family member. And all you have to do is simply allow Him into your heart. Rahab did. Rahab saw and appreciated that Israel's God was special. And in reply, Israel's God saw her as being special. And the same rule applies today, that He sees us all as special. You, in His eyes, are special too. And He wants you and me together to be a part of His very special family. Let's be a part of that family. And hang on to being a part of that family. Because, hey, in heaven it's going to be special. Let's have a good week. Dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, may Your Holy Spirit go with us. And for the week that lies ahead, may it be well with our soul. It's a humble prayer today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.